EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Oregon is our first destination tonight as we meet Marissa to hear about her UFO sightings of strange metallic balls and other unexplainable things above the Beaver State. Then we make our way northeast to Ottawa in Canada to speak to Michael about the paranormal activity that surrounded him in his youth, and more recently, the orbs of lights in the woods around his property. Marissa, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. And welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick. Thank you so much for having me.
You are more than welcome. And you're calling from the state of Oregon.
Yes, I am.
Now, Marissa, you have some UFO sightings to share with us tonight. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes, I can. The first time I saw something that was out of the ordinary, I didn't really realize that I had seen anything too weird, but it was weird enough for me to remember it. It kind of imprinted in my brain, even though it was just a few seconds. I was driving up to New York. I was moving up to New York with my boyfriend at the time. He was driving. I was in the passenger seat and we were on I-5 in Central Florida. And I was just looking out the window, kind of relaxing, dazing off. And there was like a long stretch of forest, kind of open, palms and oak. And, just for like a split, maybe just 2 seconds, I saw, just as we were going by, must have been 60 miles per hour, 70 miles per hour, I saw this like kind of watery, fiery, almost like plasma looking multicolored ball about 4 feet off the ground in the trees, just kind of floating there. And I only saw it for about 2 seconds, but it was very bright and clear, and my eyes just kind of locked on it for those 2 seconds, and then it was gone because we were just driving so fast on the highway. And I looked at my boyfriend, I was like, I just saw the weirdest thing. And I explained it to him, and he said, oh, that's weird, maybe it was like ball lightning or something. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe. And yeah, that was about when I was 19 years old. And yeah, just kind of stuck in my head, but didn't really see anything else until 2019. And that's kind of when everything started. I was on vacation in Miami with my family, and we were in this parking lot. There was about 10 people. And I looked up and I saw this kind of, it looked like a ball, like a solid ball, metallic and spinning. It was way up in the clouds and it seemed like it was spinning. And I told everybody, I said, oh, look at that. What's that? Is that a balloon? And everybody looked up and they were like, oh, that's weird. And most people thought, well, that is kind of weird, but let's move on. But then a couple people, including myself, were just like, that is so weird. And my partner's cousin's wife started filming. She got a video of it. Of course, the videos never do them justice, but we were looking closer and we saw like a ripple of almost translucent, like a pulse coming off of it every few seconds. It was almost like water, or gas maybe. And that struck me as, okay, if it was a balloon, why would it be emanating heat? And it wasn't gaining any altitude. It wasn't getting any lower, but it was moving slowly to the west, I believe, either west or south. I think it was the west. Yeah. And I remember going to where we were going to go and looking up and it was still there. It was after, you know, half an hour, it was still there. It had moved on a little bit, but it was still in the area. And ever since then, I just started, after I got back home to Oregon, I just started going outside and looking at the sky and just kind of thinking about all these different kind of questions about being human, like what we are, what life is, just all these questions. And I know what we saw wasn't an earth-shattering thing, but it just was enough for me to start looking up at the sky and seeing if there's anything else. And the more I did it, the more I felt drawn to just go out and just look at the stars and the night sky. And it was very like peaceful and calming to me. And after a couple weeks, maybe a month, I started seeing these bright flashes in the sky. The only thing I can compare it to is if there was a giant camera in the sky and it was like a flash on a camera. So I looked into it online, of course, and everything was satellite turning or these flares from space. But none of these lined up because they would stay in the same spot and it would happen maybe a half dozen times within about a 10-minute period. So there was a few minutes or a minute or so in between each flash and it would happen right in the exact same spot. And it would light up a big portion of the sky. It would just be just a flash just for a millisecond, but it was a bright, big flash. So that got me coming out every night. And then soon after that, I started seeing these bright light, like orbs, just cruising by, like off in the distance. And they seemed to be getting closer. And I would see them multiple times a week, sometimes nightly. I was out with my dog, walking my dog, probably 9:30 at night. And I saw one off in the distance, just cruising closer by, going from east to west. And as it got about two blocks from where I was standing, just watching it, just silent, smooth, just flying, doing its thing, it stopped and turned at a 90-degree angle towards the ground. And this is about two blocks from where I was at the time. And there was a wood mill probably right below where it was going. And just went out of sight, went behind houses, couldn't see it. So yeah, that was one experience with the mini orbs that I saw. And another night, I was in the house and I just kind of felt this urge to like go outside and just look at the sky. It happened a lot, 2019, a couple years ago. And I was going out a lot. And as I'm stepping out the back door, there's this bright white orb flying up probably just on the next block over, coming directly over my house where I'm standing, and I just watch it. It was probably about 50 feet up, very close, very bright, silent, and nothing but light. There was just light. There was no structure, no sort of anything to it except this bright white light. And as it's going over the house, I run inside. I tell my partner at the time, oh, it's one of these lights, because I've been telling him about them. And he just kind of seemed to think, oh, you know, could be anything. So he comes out just a second after I get out in the front yard, and I see it just go right over the house, just continue on north, and silent, just silent. And it moves like water, almost so smooth, and no sort of propulsion like an engine. It was kind of really surreal. So I'm watching it. He comes out just a few seconds after it has already crossed, and it was just a couple blocks up, probably. It was moving kind of fast, maybe 40 miles an hour. And I look at him and I said, did you see that? Like, what? And he's looking at it and he just looks at me and he's like, oh yeah, that's a plane. Or I don't know. And he just kind of like shrugs and I'm like, what? No, you didn't. And I was thinking like, oh, maybe he didn't see it in time. Maybe he didn't see it close enough. But I don't know, thinking back on it, there's a part of my mind that has a hard time accepting that this could be something so far from what we understand or what we know as humans, that it is hard to accept. And I think the people that just kind of shrug it off are probably struggle with that on some subconscious level, because to me, and I know a lot of other people, it's just so kind of mind-blowingly fascinating that there could be something so intelligent and beyond anything, you know, with technology that we have, that it pulls up all sorts of questions, and it's kind of scary that we might not be the top dog in our universe. So yeah, that was one of the really memorable orb memories that I have. So yeah, that was the summer of 2019 and 20. I think it was two summers. During the winter, I didn't see much, just because I haven't had too many experiences during the winter, just because it's like cloudy and I don't go out as much. And yeah, it just seems like the summer's the most times I've had these experiences. Oh, and during these times where I would go out, I would sometimes go out in my front yard and I would look up at this part of the sky. It was the southwest direction. And there would be this area, like a little clump of stars, where I would see, and it would be almost every time I would go out and look at this area, probably dozens of times, there would be this one star that would be doing these little tiny figure eights, and it would look like almost like a water beetle. It would just kind of scoot around in these figure eights and just kind of randomly just go around in circles and move in this small area. And thinking back on it, I was just thinking about it earlier today. Why did I not just stare at that for hours and just watch it? Every time I would see it, I would just maybe watch it for a few minutes and think, wow, that's really neat. And then I would just go back inside. And it made me think about that part of our brains that just have a hard time accepting what we're seeing and what these things are, whatever they are. And I know I was seeing it. I wasn't hallucinating. I wasn't having some sort of visual mind trick. I mean, these things, it was really happening, and it was very real. And it happened many, many times, but I would just decide to go back in. And now I haven't seen anything at all this year. And now I'm like, gosh, I wish I would have just watched it more, because I'm kind of missing these experiences and wanting to see more and wanting to have more of these experiences. But yeah, so gosh, okay, the moving stars, what next? Okay, so in 2021, I was rehoming my chickens. I had six chickens that I needed to rehome because they brought in a ton of rats. We had a major rat infestation from the chicken food, and we, as much as we loved them, we had to find another home for them. So I was driving up north, found a great farm for them, I was with my son. He was in the back seat. He had just turned 4. And I'm driving on the highway, and to the right of the highway, I see what looks like to be plane landing, an airplane. And I think, oh, that's cool. And as I get closer, I have my eye on it. And I notice there's no wings and there's nothing else on the body of the plane, or what I thought was a plane. And it was just this smooth, little bit larger than the body of an airplane, kind of long, beige-ish gray thing in the sky that was moving. It was moving about maybe, it was kind of slow. It was for a landing airplane. It was probably going 50 miles an hour, but it wasn't getting lower. It wasn't getting higher. It was just going east. And I got a good look at it. I slowed down. I was on the highway, but I was able to slow down and just look at it as it was moving on. No wings, nothing else to it, nothing in the back, nothing on the side that I could see, just like this matte beige white color. And it was huge. It was bigger than an airplane. It wasn't majorly bigger than an airplane, but it was a little bit bigger. But yeah. And I looked at it for as long as I could until I just had to keep going. I couldn't stop on the highway. And then I just kind of kept going. And now, like, looking back on it, why didn't I just get off on the next exit and try to follow it? But at the time, I remember thinking, like, okay, I've got my son with me. I've got these chickens in the car. I need to just get to where I'm going. Yeah, and maybe it's just one of those other instances where my brain just kind of short-circuited, like, wasn't quite sure how to accept what it just saw. But yeah, saw one of those, and that was one of the only things that I've seen in daylight. The rest of what I've seen has been mainly at night. The next one was, I was on a night hike with a friend, and we had hiked up to this ridge. It was a rocky ridge. And this was last year. And we had actually talked a little bit about UFOs. I had seen so much up until then from that year. And I think he had seen something too. And yeah, we were just sitting on the ridge looking at the stars, talking. And we were like, okay, well, it's kind of late. Let's get going. And we put our headlamps on. We start walking down. And right before we hit the tree line, before we go back in the woods going down, I look up across the ridge and notice this huge ball of red, fiery, like reddish orange ball of fire, about the size of a car, right above the tree line on the next ridge over. So I'd say maybe a half mile, maybe even a quarter of a mile. And I tell my friend, hey, what's that? Look at that. And we both turn our headlamps off and look at it and just kind of stare for a second. What is that? And it was not moving at the time. And then as soon as we both start just focusing on it, it starts moving slowly, and then it picks up speed, and then it stops on a dime. And then it starts to move slowly again, just going right across, right above the trees, and then goes quickly, like it hits the gas and then stops. And then it starts to move slowly and then just kind of like fades off and disappears. And we both kind of look at each other and say, what is that? And just kind of feel, that was the first time I felt fear. Maybe it was because we were at the top of this mountain in the middle of the woods, or maybe because it was something else. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, there's a variety of different things out there. And this felt different. It looked different. It acted different than anything I had ever seen. We just kind of got really, really scared and moved on into the trees, down the trail and straight to our cars. And we were just really afraid, and but also excited and really interested in like what that could have been. We were talking a bit, but also just wanting to get out of there. That was another different type of thing. I think, oh, the last thing that I have seen with a different friend was out on a dam, which I go to pretty often. I've seen orbs out there. I've seen lights just passing right over it. I've seen moving stars. The moving stars I've seen out there, I've seen all sorts of different random things. But this one was kind of different in the fact that it appeared over the mountain down the reservoir. We were just sitting there eating some cake, having some tea, and just talking. We had been out there for maybe an hour and a half. And we saw this light come up over the mountains and just slowly make its way across the reservoir. And I was so happy to see it because I had spoken about these things to this specific friend. And, you know, she was open-minded too. But I was so happy that she was actually seeing one with me because this was a firsthand experience. And we were just staring at it. It really felt, we were both agreeing that it felt it had, there was an awareness between us and it. And it sounds crazy, but it like this different type of communication without talking. And it wasn't directly saying or communicating anything to us. It was just this awareness between us and this thing that was probably about a mile down, maybe a half mile, right over the reservoir. And it was moving very slowly, kind of drifting down and then up, no blinking lights. It was whitish blue, and then it kind of turned to a yellow. And right when it got right over the middle of the reservoir, it just emanated this bluish white gas from below, and it just went towards the water. And it was only for maybe a second or two, but we both said, "Did you see that? What was that? What just came out of the bottom?" And then it kept moving on, and it slowly made its way. I mean, it must have been about 30, 45 minutes that we were watching it. We look at the time, it was 1:30 in the morning. It felt 30 or 45 minutes, but my friend was questioning time and if we had lost time. And I thought, maybe, I don't know. And I think she got a little concerned, and we just decided to leave. And it was still in our view. It was maybe almost right over the road on the other side of the reservoir when we decided to leave. And yeah, we got to the car and we were still looking at it. I tried to get a video of it. Of course, it just looks like a white little dot in the sky. We left before it even went out of our sight. And it was right over the road, but it was on the opposite which way we were going. So we didn't drive under it. We drove the opposite way and just left. And that's been the last thing I've seen. And that was last fall. And I haven't seen anything yet this year. And I'm kind of sad about it. I've been going out at night looking, and yeah, haven't seen anything since. And I hope I see more, because it's sometimes scary and sometimes kind of like hard to process, but it's more fascinating and exciting and also kind of comforting in a way, because, you know, all my life problems seem kind of minuscule when I think about the bigger picture of just what's out there. So yeah, that's basically my experiences.
Sometimes these sightings and experiences can be, you know, a little bit scary if you are in the middle of nowhere, you know, like you were with a hike, for instance. It's always good having someone to share your sightings with you.
Oh, so it makes, I know what I saw when I was alone was real, but just having that, yeah, having a person with you just makes it so much more real. And the fact that you can talk about it with somebody and that you're not just telling somebody about these things and having that other person be like, oh yeah, that's weird, and just not quite understanding.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, your reservoir sighting, I mean, they seem to like bodies of water. You hear about these sightings quite a lot where they come over lakes and rivers and especially reservoirs for some reason.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, the ones that I've seen in my backyard, around the neighborhood, the ones in the mountain, there was no water around then, but it seems like I've seen a lot when I go out to this reservoir spot on the dam. They kind of travel up along the reservoir too. I've seen them just head straight up the water. The one that I saw with my friend was crossing over it, but I know it's just gets a lot of questions. Why the water? What does any of it mean? What do they do? Why are they here? Yeah, a lot of questions.
It seems that one particular object seemed to have had a purpose. You know, you said it came over the reservoir and then it emitted a blue white gas.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell like what or why, but the weird connection that both my friend and I had with it mentally, I mean, it didn't really answer any of these questions. But it wasn't, we didn't get a feeling that it was there to hurt us or do anything that was, you know, there were no negative feelings about it. I think my friend just started getting concerned after we looked at the time. And yeah, she was worried that there was like lost time and that maybe we had gotten abducted or something. But before then, we were just kind of mesmerized. And I remember saying like hello to it and feeling a little bit silly, but at the same time, it was just a nice, peaceful, awe-inspiring type of moment. Yeah, and then when we saw the gas blue light just go towards the water, we had no idea what that could be, what it was doing, whether it was doing something interacting with the water or whether it was just letting something out of whatever it was.
Maybe just a spot of night fishing.
Night fishing. Possibly. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. You're absolutely right. Weird that you said about the connection. That is something I hear from several guests, that they seem to have a connection with a particular object. The other guest I had on today, he had the same connection where he had the feeling that he needed to go outside and then had this experience. And he said, it feels very silly to say this, but I feel like was communicating with me, but again, with no words, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting because saying it, it's really hard to put into words that the feeling. And it's, you know, after like seeing all these different, really kind of random, unique, very bizarre things, I feel there's really anything is possible when it comes to just the way we communicate, the way we live, the way we see things. And I don't know, whatever these are, it doesn't seem like they communicate in the same way we do. I mean, who knows really, but the feeling that both me and my friend had was, it was so unique. It wasn't just, gosh, I guess the closest thing I can compare it to is when somebody says, oh, there's an energy about somebody. It was almost, it was sharing a type of an energy, and its awareness was, both of our awarenesses were kind of connecting. Yeah, and it wasn't communicating anything specific. It was just in each other's awareness. We were connected as one in a way. And it sounds so cheesy and like woo woo woo, but it's really the only way I can communicate what it was like.
It's not silly to say, you know, I was there and I was saying hello in my head and communicating. I think if we try these things, because I think we've all done it, you know, we've seen an object and we've tried communicating in probably quite a basic way compared, you know, maybe compared to them. But it's not silly to try it, because you got to try, because, you know, you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it's the only way we really know how to communicate is to say hello or to just reach out in the way that we know. But it's almost whatever this thing was or is, it chose to lead the way in how it was connecting with us. It just happened like that. It's not we were imagining this or looking for this experience. It just happened to us in that way.
And the feeling you had when you're on your night hike with your friend, you're obviously in the middle of nowhere. There wouldn't be any houses around. So I could understand how you'd be a little bit more scared in that sort of environment. Mm-hmm. The object that you saw that was above the tree line, how big would you have said it was?
It was about the size of a car, maybe like a small car. And it was round, but moving like fire. So it wasn't perfectly round. It was kind of just shifting in shape just a little bit, but it was staying in a general round shape.
And you said it looked like fire. Did it have the fiery orangey red glow?
Yeah, I think that's probably I think it was the color that kind of made me, maybe both of us, a little fearful. Maybe if it was white, I wouldn't have been struck with that kind of fear. You know, biologically, like red is a little bit more, you get more of an emotional reaction out of it than just a bright white light. But yeah, it was reddish orange, just kind of fiery. There wasn't any smoke coming off of it or anything. So I'd say more like a plasma, kind of molten lava-ish, because it wasn't fire where the flames were coming up. It was all contained, if that makes sense.
Okay. And as you're coming off the mountain and then you're making your way to the tree line, was it directly ahead of you?
No, it was off to our right. So we were making our way down the trail towards the trees. And I just kind of, right before we got into the trees, I just decided to look up to the right just to get one last look of the view, because it's a beautiful view up there. It's just a clearing and you can see all the mountains just for miles. And yeah, that's when I saw it.
And did you say it leave the area?
Yeah. So we saw it for probably 30 seconds, doing the speeding up, slowing down, and then just stopping. Did that a couple different times, maybe three times in a row, almost like it was displaying itself. Again, I spoke with my friend about this. We felt it was aware that it was, that we were watching it. We had that same kind of feeling. But then at the end, right after it's doing this speeding up, stopping, it just kind of slowly continued on and then just faded out. And as it was going over the tree line kind of away, it just seemed to disappear, just fade and nothing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Again, wooded areas they have a liking for brings it back to what's their purpose in these areas.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was right over the trees. It was probably just feet above the trees. So it was very close to the ground. Yeah. And I thought about, like, gosh, imagine if we were right under it, what that would have been like. I mean, just witnessing it from another ridge was incredible, just kind of mind blowing. But yeah, yeah, it was definitely there. It definitely happened. I'm so glad that I've seen these things with, you know, multiple people to talk about, because it's just amazing stuff.
There's certainly a lot going on in our skies. You know, that is for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
And still going out and you're still watching the skies, hoping to see something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been going out. I mean, there was a period where I was having a lot of just kind of stuff going on in my life. I wasn't. And I just recently started kind of just going out and intentionally just having some sky time, you know. And even though I haven't seen anything, I find a lot of just like comfort just going out and looking up at the stars and just this wide open space. And just, I don't know, there's just something about it that makes everything feel small in my life, which is nice sometimes, you know, when things feel really big.
We all have problems. And I think when you go outside and you do look up and then you think to yourself how big the universe is and all the things that are going on up there, and you know, your problems just dissolve, at least for a short time anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good reminder, and it does put things into perspective. And if I don't ever see anything again, I'll be happy and very grateful that I had these experiences. But man, I just, you know, I'm never going to stop looking up and being open to whatever it is, because I've never really had a feeling that they're out to harm us or do anything. I've never had any negative feelings. Even when I was afraid, I think it was more about environment, maybe the color. That bright red was kind of startling. But even then, it was not a feeling of negative or any sort of thing where I felt like I was in peril or danger. So I feel really lucky. And at the same time, it's kind of bizarre that not everybody's seeing these things because of how many different experiences I've had. Yeah, it just makes me wonder, why didn't I see them before? Was I just not looking up enough? Was something else going on that just kind of closed me off to it? It's interesting. The whole perception, I've been wondering a lot about that in the last couple of years.
And have you always had an interest in the subject?
Not really. My mom actually had an experience in Colorado. I grew up in Colorado and we were in a cabin, and she never told me about it at the time. Of course, I was a kid and she didn't want to scare me. But when I was a teenager, she had this story that she used to talk about sometimes. And I believed her, but I think it just sounded like a little far out there. Like I didn't think she was lying, but I thought maybe it was a dream. Maybe it was just, you know, something that wasn't quite how it was. But she said as she was going to sleep, she saw a bright, really bright light out the window. We lived in a cabin up in the mountains north of Durango in Colorado. And it was just kind of up there in the woods. And we lived in this little old cabin, probably 100-year-old cabin, she had some ghost stories too, which I don't know. I always felt like, gosh, she had all these ghost stories and this alien experience. It was a little out there. And of course, I hadn't had any experiences before then. So it was hard for me to understand and totally believe it. But yeah, as she was falling asleep, she saw a really bright light out the window. She said she didn't remember anything after that. But when she woke up the next morning, she opened her eyes and saw a message on the wall. It was a short message. As soon as she finished reading it, it disappeared off the wall. And it just completely erased from her memory. But she remembered feeling the feeling of what she had just read as really kind of dark, dismal feeling about the world, but she couldn't remember specifically what it was. It just kind of just wiped from her memory immediately. And she got up, she went to the bathroom, and she had a nosebleed. And she said, you know, she never had nosebleeds. And it was just really bizarre type of weird thing. So yeah, that was her experience that she believed that was some sort of UFO experience. And she may, and now after all my experiences, I totally believe it. I mean, really, anything's possible after just kind of just the possibility of anything is real.
Mm. I mean, at the time, you know, you hadn't had your sighting. So I know how easy it is to not believe someone. And then later on, you ended up having your sighting. So this is, you know, this is something that you've got in common with her. She had her paranormal experiences and this bright light.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd like to know what the message is. It's a shame that it's all wiped.
I know. Why? If that was the case, if they were trying to communicate something to her, why would they wipe it from a memory? And she said it wasn't a good feeling after she read it. Something about the world, something about the future. I wish I could talk to her about it more. She passed away when I was 23. You know, I have a lot of questions, of course, and things that I wish I could tell her. But yeah, that's one of them that I wish I could just talk to her more about. But it's just a lot of mysterious things in the world, which is it's kind of neat to think about. Like, yeah, there's not any easy answers, are there?
No, there certainly isn't. You know, we can do our best to piece things together, but there's no answers. There are answers out there. Just I don't think they're necessarily available for us just yet.
I hope they will be in the future before I'm gone. It'd be really nice to know a little bit more. But in the meantime, I guess it's just enough being kind of just in awe and fascinated with this stuff.
It always reminds me of that, the film E.T. You know, when little Elliot, when Elliot's lying in bed and I think it was a CIA guy was coming to him and he would say, ever since I was a little boy, I always wanted to see and experience something. And then, you know, now he's an old man. I always think that, you know, people want to experience something and I think it will come. I don't think we'll have to wait or the answers won't come till after we've passed. I think it will happen in our time.
I think so too. And I, you know, looking back just at the span of history and how much has happened so recently, it seems it's picking up so much. Things are going to keep coming to light more. And yeah, I believe that too. It's pretty exciting time to be alive.
It is. I agree. The 90s and just after 2000, things didn't really ever slow up. It was always, you know, it was always keeping pace. And then the last 5 years now, things are speeding up. And I think we're in for some stuff. That's all I think.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so too. Thank you so much for having me on. This is really cool. And I'm really happy to be a part of, I don't know, this movement in awareness and knowledge and truth. It's really important stuff. I mean, whatever they are, it's nice. We're kind of getting the ball rolling, getting closer to it not being a stigma thing, which will be great. Whatever that means, I think it'll be a really good thing.
Exactly. I think that's a good way of putting it, a movement. I like that. Wonderful. Marissa, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much, Nick.
It's been wonderful talking to you. Keep in contact and we will speak soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Take care for now.
Okay, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me, man.
It's great to have you on. And you're calling from Canada.
Yes. Another Canadian story or stories to be told, the paranormal.
Wonderful. And there are many. Now, Michael, you've come here to share your experiences. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Sure. The first block of stories is actually takes place in the house that I grew up in when I was a kid. I would like to think that it was a friendly ghost, but it was more of a tormentor. Really just kind of played with me. Just, yeah, it seemed to really enjoy scaring me. which wasn't ideal for a little boy growing up. So the way that it began, we moved into this place, I think when I was around 7 years old. And it was just little things. So I'd be laying in my bed at night, just waiting to fall asleep. And I would hear like a little tick, tick, you know, coming from the closet or in the corner of the room. And if I sat up and acknowledged it, then it would stop. But it would continue to do that and it would keep me awake. So I would talk to my mom about it. And she's like, oh, it's nothing. It's the room settling or, you know, something like that, just to kind of ease the burden in my mind that nothing weird is going on. But the first night that I think it actually took it up a notch. So the house that we lived in, there's a basement, a main floor, and a second floor. The second floor is where the bedrooms and bathroom are. In the basement, my sister had some lumber down there. And she was going to put some walls up and make a room for herself in the basement. So the venting system going up from the basement right up into our rooms, I could hear, and I woke up to, it sounded like somebody stepping on the lumber, kind of making it clunk, making the wood clunk. So I'd sit up and I would hear it and or acknowledge it, and it would stop. I'd lay back down. It would do it again. And I'd sit up. Finally, I went and I got my mom and I was like, listen, and nothing would happen. So then finally she goes back to bed. As soon as she's out of the room, it starts again. And it just kept doing it and doing it. And finally I fell asleep. So that was the next step up. So then the step above that, this was quite a bit more aggressive. I was in my bedroom again and I just really had this really uneasy feeling. And the hallway light was on, and right across from my room, my door is open. My mom's bedroom is right there, and her door was completely open. And with her door completely open, it's flush right against her bedroom wall. So I'm looking at across the hall into my mom's bedroom, and my mom and my sister are downstairs. And from the wall side of the door, which is completely open, it's like this smash, like somebody punched it. And the door slammed so hard. Like it looked like from a horror movie, and I couldn't believe it. Just the backside of the door was like somebody punched it, and then it just slams shut so loud and fast. I screamed, and my mom and my sister ran up the stairs and like, what's going on? I'm like, and I explained to them what happened. So they're looking around and they don't see anything. And of course they go back downstairs, go back to bed. You're fine. I just witnessed like the most terrifying thing in my life. And they went back downstairs. So I think I laid there away. I grabbed all my stuffed animals and just barricaded myself in my bed. It was awful. So as I'm getting older and I got all my buddies and we're having sleepovers and stuff like that, you know, I would tell them, you know, stuff that would happen. And then they started to experience things. So with my friends, it was little things like, if they were going up the stairs from the main floor to the bathroom, they would feel like somebody was on their heels going up the stairs when nobody was there. Blankets. Like I remember I would try, if your blankets are hanging off the bed and you try and pull them up, it was like somebody was holding it on the floor under the bed. So you would tug at the blanket. You're like, I can't pull it up. What's going on? And I remember my friend Frank, he was on the side of the bed. We all slept in the same bed together as kids when we would have sleepovers. And if the blanket is hanging off, he would try and pull it up. And he's like, "It's something's on it. Something's on it." And we would turn the light on. There was nothing on the blanket. And then finally, I would pull it up as if nobody was hanging onto it. So there was a night where myself, my friend Frank, and Gary, I think we stayed out. We loved watching movies, kung fu movies, comedies, horror movies. So we'd fallen asleep in my bed, in my bedroom. And I say in my bedroom because the bedrooms are going to change throughout the stories with my bedroom, my sister's, and then the eventual bedroom in the basement. So Frank is on the outside and I'm on the inside and Gary was in the middle. So I woke up and I saw Gary at the end of the bed. And me and Frank had not moved any closer together. I'm like, oh, this is weird, whatever. So Gary stirs awake and he goes up into the middle where he was sleeping. And I heard this smack, like, and then Gary's like, oh, who hit me? And Frank looks over and he's like, I didn't hit you. And they start laughing. He's like, Mike, why did you hit Gary? And I was like, I didn't hit him either. So we looked at Gary's forehead, and he had a welt, big red welt on his forehead, where he felt like he was struck by one of us. And we kind of freaked out a little bit. You were at the end of the bed, and we didn't move any closer together. And then when you moved up to where you were sleeping, and you got hit by something. So we were speculating that whatever haunting I have at the house moved Gary out of the way and was laying there between me and Frank. That's best. That's what we came up with. And it was upset that Gary went back up to its spot and cracked him. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's what we felt happened. There was a night. So this is where the rooms change. So my sister did make a room in the basement, but she eventually moved out, and I made a rec room down there for myself. I set up VCR and Nintendo, and we would all play down there, play video games, watch movies. That was like a rec room. I also had a record player down there, Ghetto Blaster, all that stuff. This is all antiquated technology for some of your listeners. So, yeah. And also, you know, regular landline telephones, which kind of plays into some of the stories too. So there was also a chair down there, which if you sat in it in a way with your legs hanging over it, it would creak. So, if you're laying there and you're kind of kicking your legs, it would make this creaking sound. So that plays into some of the stories as well. But there was a night where me and my friend Chris, we were down in the basement, and Chris was playing the video game, and we were listening to music, and nobody was home. So we were just chilling out, doing our thing, and upstairs sounded like, just came out of nowhere, a party. Like loud music, stomping around, people dancing, dishes clattering. As quick as that came up, it's almost as if whatever we were hearing upstairs went into slow motion. It started from sounding like a party, and somebody like on a VCR or something like that, where you put it into slow motion, and it was just the sound of everything in slow motion. So it was so creepy. We sat up and looked at each other, and the look in his eyes was probably the same as mine. What was that? And what are we going to do? We're in the basement. It was terrifying, Nick. I couldn't believe the sound of a sudden party just out of nowhere. 5 feet above us, it just appearing out of nowhere, and then the sound that it made, just like time was slowing down up there, and the banging and the clattering slowed down. It was like, whoa. It was awful, dude. So we sat there for a bit, and as quick as it came in, it left. And of course we go upstairs, and there's nothing there, nothing, no party, which we didn't think there was. I mean, we knew what it was. We knew it was a ghost or whatever it is messing with us. That was one of the most terrifying things that happened. So there was this other night, which also includes the basement. So I'm not sure if you've ever listened to hip hop, but back in the day I had my record player in the record collection, and we were downstairs in the basement doing our thing, and I had a 12-inch on of Eric B and Rakim, Paid in Full. It was all remixes. So my record player, when it turns off, when it's done spinning the record, the needle will lift and the record player will turn off. Also back then, if you had a landline phone and you had two or three in your house, if the phone was left off the hook, it would make a busy signal. So if anybody tried to call you, you couldn't get through. There was a busy signal. So the record was almost over, and we decided to go outside. We're going to go meet up with a couple of our friends out in the park. So we're outside for about an hour and a half doing our thing. So we're missing one of our buddies. I'm like, okay, well, let's go in the house. We'll call Doug and see where he's at. So we go in, and I pick up the phone upstairs in the kitchen, and the phone, I can hear on the other end, Eric B and Rakim playing on the record. And I'm like, what's going on here? It's the record playing downstairs. my friend was up at the top of the stairs and it's like, yeah, the record's playing. And he could hear the chair creaking, like somebody was sitting in it with their leg over the edge, creaking it. So we ran out of the house. All of our friends got together and we came back in and the phone was off the hook in the basement. And like I said, if your phone is off the hook, it's going to be a busy signal. It's not just going to be dead air. And the record player was playing as if somebody had started it again. So with that antiquated technology, if that story makes sense to any of your listeners, that was freaky. Because after a minute, if that phone was off the hook, it should have been making a busy signal. And my record player should have stopped. And there was nobody in the basement to sit in that chair and make it creak. So it just seemed like when me and my friends were over and doing our thing and hanging out, because my place was kind of the hub. You know, we would, you know, set up tents in the backyard, go for late night skateboarding or riding our bikes. You know, you come back and it's almost as if it was welcoming, like, okay, I'm going to mess with you guys now. So the main level and the upstairs, it was real interesting. This was scary, but it was more interesting to experience it, like kind of surrounding you. So our front door was completely in line with our back door through the house. So the front door had a screen door, and on the bottom it had one of those tin sort of things that it was a screen door and it had tin on it. And then there was like a main wooden door, a hallway, and it went through the living room, and then there's the back door. Same design, like the wooden door, and then it had the screen tin door on the outside. So we kept getting these knocks on the tin door. And we would look, my friend would go see if it was one of our other buddies, and nobody would be there. And we're like, it kept happening. We're like, what the hell's going on? So my buddy opens the door. There's nobody there, but the bang happens right on the screen door. I was standing in the living room looking towards that front door. I could see the door kind of rattle after it was hit because it was hit harder. And it was like a spiral of bangs that went from that door wall to wall to the ceiling to the floor. And then it banged on the screen door out the back right past me. And we were like, holy shit, that's incredible. Like it freaked us out. 8 o'clock at night. And we're all just hanging out. And this happens right in the middle of us. It was crazy. There was also another thing with the bedrooms. So when my sister did have the room in the basement, I had taken her room. And my friends and I would hang out there. We had a TV in there and a love couch and a chair. And we'd play D&D there a lot of nights over the weekends. And I remember we were playing a game. And everybody was getting tired, so we put Bloodsport on, and we were all falling asleep watching that, and it was pretty uncomfortable. We just had the love seat and the regular chair, and my friend Frank fell asleep in the love chair. So me and Gary, like, well, let's sleep downstairs. We had a big sectional couch in the living room, so we decided to go down there and sleep. I woke up in the morning, and Frank was on the floor. And Frank's my friend that fell asleep in the love chair in my sister's old bedroom upstairs. And he was so mad at us. He's like, I can't believe you guys left me up there. He was terrified, terrified, because he'd experienced so much weird stuff at the house. So he goes to leave the room to see where we're at. And this is in the middle of the night. And he opened the door. He closed it and he just had it open a crack, and he watched in his terror this dark shadowy image float across the hallway and go into my bedroom next to my sister's old bedroom, which is where he was standing. He watched this. He closed the door and he sat in that room in terror, and he wanted to get out of there, and he just ran downstairs and slept on the floor. All the years that I'd lived there, I'd never seen it. I've always just heard it. This part of the story is pretty hard. My friend Doug, one of my best buddies growing up, he's still a good friend. Whenever I bring it up, which I don't anymore, he will say, nothing happened. It's all fake. And when he says it, you know, there's like an emotional response there. And he's not, he just doesn't want to experience it anymore. He doesn't want to relive it. He doesn't want to talk about it. So there was a night we were up in my bedroom, bedroom number one. And we were all just chilling out. There was like five of us. It was me, Chris, Gary, Frank, Doug. And we were all just, you know, just playing around. We had a movie on or something. And we heard somebody yell up the stairs. And we're like, what the hell? To hear like a voice was really weird. Like that was just, that was another level to what was happening. So we went downstairs and somebody's got to be in the house. So we look through the house and there's nobody there. So we're all sitting in the living room on the sectional couch. Doug's got to use the bathroom. There's no way he's going upstairs. So he goes out into my backyard. So he's peeing and he's got this feeling somebody's watching him. So he turns and he looks up into bedroom number two, my sister's old bedroom, the one that has the love seat where we would play D&D. And there was somebody watching him. And his description of it is, it's even hard. I didn't even see it. And he said that the eyes were so black. That's all he could say. The eyes were just so black. He ran into the house, hyperventilating and pointing upstairs. He couldn't breathe. He was crying. He was hyperventilating. And then he's like, we got to go. So we all ran out of that. If anybody had seen us run out of that house, they would have thought it was going to blow up or something. And we sprinted to the park. Doug finally calmed down. And yeah. And then when he explained what he saw, he was just, and for him to have that experience by himself and to live with that, he was just, I can see why he doesn't want to relive it. It's just so terrifying. That is the absolute worst part, is telling Doug's story. I always save that for last. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard for me to tell, and I didn't even see it. But seeing the look on his face and how he reacted, and then years later, seeing that look on his face, that fear, I think there's a level of fear that you can experience that I don't even think you can call it fear anymore. It's something else. It's some sort of weird emotion that is just really primal. And I saw it in his eyes, and I saw it in his eyes when I was asking about it years later.
You know, it's knowing that there, it's not just noises you're hearing. There is something that was in that house.
Yeah, to hear a voice, and then for Frank and Doug to see it. Yeah, that was just, and who knows, something else really weird about that, Nick. Friends of the family, when we moved out, they moved in, and something had happened with the younger brother. We all grew up together. We're all best friends. And my the younger brother in the family had to go to the hospital, and it was pretty serious. So I was going to stay. Me and my mom were over there, and it's been years, you know, since being in there. And I said to my friend's mom, I'll stay overnight. I was just like, oh, that's great. So I went into my buddy's room, and my mom was still downstairs with my friend's mom. And you know what happened, Nick? In the closet, I started to hear the tick, tick. And then I was like, there's no way I'm staying here for this to happen tonight. There's no bloody way I'm going to do this. So I came downstairs and I said to my mom, I'm good. I'm going to go home. So we left, and she's like, what was with that? And I said to my mom, I told you for years growing up that that place is haunted. And she's like, oh, I know. I just didn't want to tell you. I didn't want you to be scared. And I started laughing. I'm like, it was too late. I was scared. So she told me that she had some friends come over, and a friend bought a friend that had some sort of abilities as a medium. And they're like, oh, can I? And I guess they got a feeling about the house. So he's like, do you mind if I walk around? And my mom's into it, right? Like, my mom's like, cool, yeah, see what you can find. My son says the house is haunted. I don't know. But yeah, this guy confirmed it, that it was haunted. And she didn't want to tell me because she thought the confirmation would have just been like, oh, you're just going to want to sleep with me every night because you're scared.
can understand it from her point of view.
For sure.
You're saying things that happened. She just doesn't want to perpetuate it. And did she ever tell you of some of the things she experienced?
No, she never experienced anything. Neither did my sister. It was all on me for some reason. Yeah, it was really weird. Very strange that it was just me and the boys. And for the longest time, it was just me. And then as I was, you know, getting older and friends were coming over, and then it was like, oh, this is awesome. I can mess with all these kids. Yeah.
It's not unusual to hear that certain members of a family will be targeted. It's easy for people which have never lived in a haunted house. But I can tell you from experience, it is scary.
Yeah.
You're vulnerable. You know, you go to sleep at night, supposed to be safe and comfortable, and you're constantly on edge.
Oh, yeah. It's awful, man. So when we, it's a good segue getting into the other haunted house, because, you know, I'm a young adult and I'm free of this. I've discovered these really cool, scary stories to tell, right? So me and my buddies, we moved to Ottawa, and we moved to this area called Sandy Hill. A lot of old homes there, a lot of old homes period in Ottawa, but they do haunted walks all over the city. But we were just down the street from the Russian embassy, and we had this old house. It was all students, right? So there was four girls downstairs. There was the four of us in the middle, and there was four students upstairs. So we all drew for rooms, and my buddy Dave, I knew that he wanted this big room that also had a living room. So there was two living rooms on this in this apartment. And I was like, cool, I got the first pick. I didn't want that big room. And I picked this room down the hall with my other roommates. So literally, Nick, it was the first night. We had our boxes. Everything wasn't unpacked. We just had enough time just to kind of bring everything in and set up our beds. I woke up at 3 a.m. to what sounded like a box of books and magazines falling over, getting dumped out outside of my bedroom. So I go and open the door, and I look and turn on the lights on. Oh, nothing fell. So I go lay down. As soon as I lay down, I hear it again. What the hell? So I go and look. There's nothing here. Nothing has fallen. All my roommates are asleep. I'm like, oh, I got a weird feeling. It was the same feeling as when I was a kid. So I went into Dave's room where he had his living room, and there was a couch in there, and I went and slept on there. I told them what happened, and they're like, oh, that's weird. Nothing has fallen over. So over time living there, you know, it was little things. You know, you would go into your room where you just were 2 minutes ago and your CD player is playing. And we all experienced that. We're like, oh, why does our radio keep turning on? Or why is our CD, our music keep turning on? And then the girls downstairs said that their lights kept going on and off. We didn't get any stories from the people living upstairs. They were pretty busy with their jobs and school. But we kept hearing stuff. Our neighbor downstairs said that they had witnessed the shadow of a man crossing one of their doorways in a dark room, which freaked them out because they thought there was a man in the apartment and there was nobody there. In our place, I woke up, I was sleeping on my side, and I woke up to what felt like I was being pressed into my bed. So I'm completely awake. I shake it off and I'm like, oh, it woke me up. I must've been a weird sensation while I was sleeping. I don't know. So I lay back down, and immediately I feel the pressure on the side of my body, and I can feel it myself being pushed into my mattress. And I think there was a moment in my head, I'm a veteran of this now, you know, with all the experiences that I've had. And I shot up out of my bed, and I was like, I was so mad, Nick. I was like, get the fuck out of here and don't come back. But that's what I said. I was so pissed off. And I never had anything happen to me again after that. But everybody else did. So we had my girlfriend, who's now my wife, my friend's girlfriend, which is now his wife. They would often say when they get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, it felt like somebody was with them, like on their heels. And they hated it. So they just stopped. They would rather hold it than go to the bathroom. My buddy Luke came home, and he loved to go to the market and to the bars and stuff like that. So he came home at like 3 a.m. and he's in the kitchen and he hears somebody yell down the hall, hey. And he's like, hey, he yells, hey, back. And he's making a sandwich and he's like, huh, that didn't sound like any of my buddies. And he looks down the hall, and it's just black. All the lights are off. And he walks down. Everybody's asleep. Who the hell just yelled at me? Somebody, my friend John, his wife now, she was sitting in a chair or at the end of the couch in Dave's living room. And she can see through the doorway through our main living room and down that hall where all of our bedrooms are. All the lights are off down there. And she saw a shadow walking towards her down that hallway and turn the corner and go into the kitchen. She didn't say anything to anybody. She told us later. The thing is, like, we just met our girlfriends, so she didn't want to sound crazy, right? But that's what she saw. And I think she felt more comfortable saying it as we were, you know, I would tell her what happened to me or what was happening to the people who live downstairs. But there's another thing, you know, she had experienced something in the middle of the night in that hallway, and she'll never tell us. And you can see that same look in her eye. She won't deny that it ever happened, but she won't tell us what happened. It's just something so terrifying that, again, like with my friend Doug, like, you just don't want to relive it. You don't want to talk about it. All you can say is, yeah, something bad happened and she doesn't want to talk about it. So there was a big party, all kind, like, it was all floors, like the people downstairs, our floor, and the people upstairs. It was a big, huge house party. And the neighborhood in Sandy Hill, that's where it's kind of like where a lot of students live, because Ottawa U is right there in Sandy Hill. So it was a huge party. So this girl says, I used to live here. This is a great house. And she's like, you know, it's haunted, right? I'm like, no kidding. So again, we get confirmation from, you know, here's somebody that used to live in the house. And she's like, she comes to a party. And yeah, it was great. But it's haunted, which I thought was pretty neat. Yeah. So we didn't live there long. I feel like, you know, it wasn't bugging me anymore. So I wasn't tortured by it. I wasn't a tortured soul by another tortured soul. So again, another house with interesting stories.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Yeah, moving on from that, Nick, I have a UFO sighting that me and my wife had about 10 years ago. And this took place just outside of Belleville. So it was the summertime. We were actually living in Tweed. We had just moved to Tweed out in the country. And we were coming back from Brighton. My wife was pregnant with our first child, and we were doing what was called like a hypnobirthing class. So we were driving home, and we got to the other side of Belleville, and we were going up Highway 37 towards our place. And it was really like an awesome summer night. It was kind of like that dusky, like orange tint as the sun is setting. There was a crescent moon with a star above it. I'm like, man, this looks really cool. What a night. So there's an air base, Trenton Air Force Base. Yeah, there's a Trenton Air Force Base, and they always do flyovers. And when they bank at nighttime, the lights are vertical. So this plane was banking around the corner. So I'm looking at the moon, and then I look to my left, and I see this plane bank in the corner. I'm like, oh, that looks so cool. I love it. So then I'm driving down the highway, and then I look further to me. This light catches my eye in the power lines and those power towers. And there's an orb there. I'm like, holy shit. Like this white orb just sitting there. So then it transforms into like this orange glow. And I said to my wife, I'm like, look at this. So it starts to fly towards us. And as it's flying towards us, she couldn't lean over and look because she's pregnant. She couldn't lean because of her belly. And I'm looking at it, and it's flying over the car. And I pull over to a spot down the highway, and we both get out, and we can both see it going up into the sky. And she's like, that's weird. I'm like, yeah, let's go back. So I go to get in the car and we turn around. And by the time we turned around, it's gone. But it was so cool, Nick, to see that. I was like, there was no structure to it. And it was close enough that you could see that there was no structure to it. And this is before drones are a big thing, right? It didn't make any sound or anything. I reported it the next day. I'm not sure who it was that I reported to. It could have been MUFON. And my report was really, it was lackluster. It was like maybe a sentence like, hey, I saw a UFO here last night. So they're like, can you be more descriptive? So it was fairly descriptive the next time. Like I wrote out a page of, you know, pretty much what I told you. Yeah, it was cool. Like it just had no structure. It was just light. But then when, like it was pure white and then it changed to this orange and it was like flying over. Like, it was close. Like I'm looking at it fly over the car. I'm like, I loved it. Every second of it. I don't like the hauntings, but I'm into UFOs for sure.
So, yeah. So if you had to pick one of them, it would definitely be the UFOs instead.
Yeah, man. I just think the hauntings, I don't think it's, you know, Uncle Eddie or Aunt Susie or Grandma. I don't think they're spirits. I think it's something else that, yeah. And I'm not into it. Don't like it. I don't think it's, you know, somebody that's hanging around to see what's going on or even a tortured soul. I just think it's something completely different that is demonic or, you know, something from another dimension. I don't know, man. I don't believe in the classical hauntings of, you know, a spirit of somebody that passed away. I just think it's something else messing with us.
Like it was, it specifically wanted to set out to terrify you guys.
Yeah. And from the brief description my friend gave me of the black eyes, that was, you don't need to tell me anymore. That's good enough. I still live here. Yeah. So the last block is the woods around my house, Nick. We live out in the country and we're right next to a river. And we've got a pretty nice property. What we did, we had a tornado last year, so the trees are all gone, but it's lots of trees. And we have a hill and a cliffside that we can go up to. So the first thing that I saw, so my boys were, I think they were like 5 and 3. Yeah, they were 5 and 3. We were outside playing. We had a bonfire. And we were playing with glow sticks. We had a bonfire. We were running around. We were doing this for hours. It was such a beautiful night. So I'm up on their play structure and I'm looking out and we have this area called our secret path. So it goes between the cliff and the river and there's all kinds of trees right there, nice tall trees. So I'm looking out at the top of the trees and then this white orb just appears out of nowhere and then disappears. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, did you guys just see that? And like, they didn't see it. They were sitting by the fire playing with the glow sticks. I'm like, and this really... Yeah, it really, it didn't freak me out. I thought, wow, what was that? That was really interesting. So I went out the next night around dusk so I could see. I'll sit where I sat the night before and see what I could see through those trees, which was nothing. I couldn't see anything, like just trees. And it was at the top of the trees. And in my head, I said, okay, light, show yourself. So this light, you know how like when you look at... like a koi fish as it swims towards you and then like it turns and swims the other way. That's what this light looked like. It looked like it swam out of thin air, appeared, came towards me, turned, and then disappeared right back to where it came from. And I was like, phew. I went back in the house. I'm like, Holly, and I can believe this. This is crazy. This is what I saw. So she's skeptical, right? She's like, oh yeah. So then a couple months later, down the secret path, I'm about to go down the secret path on a walk. And I see these white and red lights flickering through the woods. And I'm like, wow, what is this? I'm like, okay, this is my chance. And I ran and I got Holly. I'm like, okay, you're not going to believe this. So we went and looked and she's like, wow, that is really weird. And she grew up there. She's like, I've never seen this before. I'm like, I don't know what it is. This is weird. Yeah. So the actual orb, her and the boys saw it about a year and a half later in the trees. She's like, yeah, we saw it. We finally saw it. It just came out of nowhere and it was gone. And I was happy that they saw it. I'm like, good. It's not just me. I'm glad that she saw those lights down the secret path, because I know it's not just me. But our neighbor, and this is a, you know, nothing to do with the lights. It's kind of a, I don't think it's a scary story. It's just kind of timely with our neighbor's wife had passed away. And about a month and a half before we had experienced this. So we were having a crazy snowstorm, and me and my boys, we like to just go out and kind of walk around in it. Something kind of peaceful about it with all the snow falling, and you know, you don't hear anything. It's just snowing. So me and Keegan, my older guy, so we're out there in the middle of our yard, and we're just kind of, you know, just listening to the silence, right? And then we hear this sound. And I'm like, what is that? Keegan's like, it's a wolf. I'm like, no, man, it's not a wolf. So we're turning in different directions, at least I am. I'm like trying to pinpoint where it's coming from. And I'm like, isn't it coming from anywhere? It's coming from everywhere. This is all around us. And I'm listening. And I said to Keegan, I'm like, somebody's humming a tune. And that freaked him out. He's like, I'm going inside. I'm like, okay, let's go inside. So in the springtime, I was talking with my neighbor, and I told him what happened. And he just kind of had a look on his face. And I'm like, did she hum? Did she sing? And he's like, he just nodded yes. And I think he really liked hearing that we heard that. I'm not sure if it was his wife or what, but it could have been the wind. But the way that it sounded and the way that it just came out of nowhere, and we noticed it was just something different. But yeah, that was very interesting. But I guess the property around there, like my mother-in-law, my father-in-law said that, you know, there was weird stuff that would happen across the river at a retreat that was there. People have drowned in the water. I don't know. But that just goes back to my belief of classical hauntings. I don't know if it's people that have passed that are doing it, or just something else that we don't know about. The lights never made us feel afraid or anything. They were just really cool to see. And we knew that it wasn't something natural. It was something paranormal for sure. But yeah, that's pretty much it for my tales, Nick.
Whatever these lights are in the woods, I hear a lot of these accounts from Canada itself, where people live in rural areas and they're surrounded by woodland, and you know, people see these lights, you know, and I think a lot of things, you know, live in those woods, and I've been there a long time now. Wherever they are, you know, whether it's spirits or something else.
Yeah, I'm into it. I love it. There was something about it that it didn't give me a feeling of terror or dread. It actually, you know what, it was maybe a feeling of them being there longer than us, or whatever that is, being there longer than us. So yeah, never had an issue with the lights, but I'm not sure if we'll see them anymore, because we had a tornado last year and all of our trees are gone, and the conservation next to us, it's gone. Our area is completely blown out. I mean, the property across from us is a retreat. You wouldn't have been able to see any buildings at all through the trees, and you can count, I think there's two trees still standing. And on our property, I think we've got two or three. I mean, we're in the middle of the woods and all the trees are gone.
Good God. So there's some power which come through there.
We've had a lot of weird storms actually all over Canada. I'm pretty sure all over the world. It's unusual in our area, we had what was called like a downburst windstorm in last May. That wreaked a lot of havoc, destroyed a lot of property, and took down a lot of trees. And then there was one in Belleville and surrounding area. It was a downburst storm, which they believed at the end of tornado did touch down. There was a lot of damage there. And then the tornado that went through our area. And that was all last summer, just last summer. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's never something you really associate with Canada, is it? You usually expect to hear tornadoes, you know, way further south in the States, but not so much in Canada.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, you can get them out through Saskatchewan, like Alberta, Manitoba. It's more flat there. Like they're more prevalent out that way, but it's kind of like the Midwest same in the States, because I think in the States they get them a lot in the Midwest going south, but you had to have them in southern and eastern Ontario is unusual.
But, you know, over the last few years, you know, the whole world has been plagued with unusual weather, weather patterns. And
it's hard, man.
So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, if we get in, yeah, you know, if there's snow turning up in Vietnam and California. So, yeah, things are getting a bit strange when it comes to the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the paranormal experiences, all that has, you know, has stopped now.
Yep. Nothing happening with, well, we'll see this summer. We didn't see any last summer. I really don't think we will, because the trees are gone. For some reason, I'm associating the lights with the trees. I don't know why, but I just feel like that's the connection. But yeah, no more ghosts or whatever they are haunting me.
Which I think Michael's happy about.
Sure am. Yeah. I do like telling the stories. I mean, it's an experience for sure.
Yeah, it's one thing telling the stories, and it's another thing when you're actually there and you're living the things that's going on, things that are going bump in the night.
Yes. It reminds me of, I don't know, when I tell those stories, it really brings me back to, not much has changed in my life. I still listen to hip hop, skateboard, punk rock music, but there's so many of those stories that I think it's easier for me to remember because we were doing the things that we would love to do at the same time. Like, it's all associated with it. Like, we went outside to play basketball and then we come inside and the record's still playing and the phone is off the hook and, you know, playing video games and there's a party upstairs, you know, all that stuff. It's just, we can do our version of a Stranger Things story.
It's like some of your best memories that you have, you can usually associate the time with the moves that you were listening to at the same period.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. But I'm just, you know, I feel bad for my friend that saw it. He's just, I think it's different for him. He was terrified for sure. But, you know, I hear, like, a friend was telling me that some people, when it comes to stuff like that, some people can just hear it. And some people can just see it. Some people can just smell it because there's smells associated as well. Some people, or there's like an overlap of one or two, but I never saw anything. I just always heard it. And he was, him and Frank were the unfortunate ones that had to see it.
It does happen. People experience different things. Yeah, it does vary.
Yeah, that's great.
Michael, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thanks so much for having me, Nick. I love the show and it was a pleasure coming on, telling the stories.
And, it, you know, it's great having you on. And I'm glad your boy has started listening to it as well.
Yeah, he's into it big time.
Good to hear. It's been great speaking to you, right? You take care and I will be in touch.
Cool. All right, man. You too. Take care, man. Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Marissa and Michael for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.